Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on key highlights of Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman's reply to the general discussion on Budget 2026-27 in the Lok Sabha. The participants are Subimal Bhattacharji, Economic Analyst, and Arjun J. Chowdhury, Anchor.
I'm joined by Shri Subimal Bhattacharji. The budget was presented in Parliament on the 1st of February, and today the budget was being discussed and debated in Parliament. We'll try and understand what the intricacies of that discussion is in Parliament by Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman. Subimalji, a warm welcome to you
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So the budget clearly outlines what the government spending is going to be. The opposition is given the opportunity to debate the merits of the budget, and that is what we are discussing right now. There is a sharing of taxes between the centre and the states. Could you tell us what is going on right now as far as the shares demand of their share of taxes is?
First and foremost, I think this was a very, very nice budget that the finance minister presented. And as now she is replying to many of the points, and just after the leader of the opposition also spoke, I think she has kept on the emphasis on the larger macroeconomic situation, which is in higher spending on capex, which is very important, because the 12.2 lakh crore capital expenditure, as she used the word, is a generational investment. I think this budget, by and large, has been accepted across the stakeholder communities. That is something that is looking at India at 2047, you know, when you are looking at Viksit Bharat, you are looking at developed India, what all do you need to stick? So I think the capex spend on infrastructure is very important. But when you spend more, you also have to have the resources at your back. And as you rightly said, that if proportionally the revenues are increasing, and definitely, yes, in the last few years, you have seen, even after COVID and all, the revenue kitty to the government has been consistently increasing because the tax collection has improved. The industrial sectors are doing well. Export is also doing well. And despite some of the hiccups around the trade negotiations with US, and now finally with two of the major trade deals, I think the vibrancy around exports and business on many sectors is strong. So I would foresee that the revenue collection for the government should be good. And as such, the sectoral outlays and the spending would definitely be met. And likewise, you know, the states also getting their share of the formula of how they get their money. I think that also remains steady, strong, and rather increasing. In fact, as the finance minister said, that the tax share to states is 41% total money that is allocated, so which is good. But I would think that even the states have to do a lot on their own to mobilize resources, because a lot of the central schemes in most of the states are running very well, but the states proportionately are not able to invest that much. So overall, if you say, I think we would think that it's a healthy balance between the center and the states about how that support infrastructure works.
Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman has detailed out, fleshed out the provisions of the budget in the Lok Sabha, saying that 25.44 lakh crore rupees is to be transferred to the states in 2026-27 in the financial year concerned. That clearly has appeased many states, including the opposition. Could you tell us, apart from the relationship between the center and the states, the responsibility of the states as well to ensure that they are not in deficit, but they're also in surplus? Because according to data, about 11 or 12 states are in revenue surplus, whereas the remaining states and union territories are actually, the states specifically, are in deficit. So how does one come out of it that the budget is a plan as far as the union is concerned, but there's also responsibility for the states?
No, definitely, as I mentioned, the states have to keep pace, the people, the states that are laggards in this field. So I think, you know, they have to augment the revenue generation sources. I think many of the central schemes that run across states are today allowing, you know, the cascading impact in which the state can also generate money. For example, say in the Northeast, if you pick up the widespread infrastructure investments from the central government, whether it's the roads, bridges, airports, etc., now have opened economic opportunities. So the moment the economic opportunities open, the taxes, the state sales tax and all other kind of things keep on happening. Northeast is doing economically well also. That means the states are going to accrue revenue. Now, how do they manage them? How do they stop away from regular borrowings and all? I think that would be important. And of course, there is a mechanism. The Finance Commission looks at all the issues when it delves the allocation to the different states. So those who are revenue deficient, I think, you know, they would see the attention. And those who are surplus, they would be investing in more areas. But one thing you must also note that, as the finance minister herself has said, that every rupee one spent by the government of infrastructure, actually the economy sees a gain of rupees 3.25 through job creation and private sector participation. Now, in that mechanism, the states actually benefit more than even what the center gets.
So effectively, you're talking about economic value added to the investment by the union as far as India is concerned. Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman also spoke in the Lok Sabha about MSMEs, medium and small enterprises, and how they are getting additional support from the center so that they can take up the responsibility of manufacturing.
Emphasis on labor-intensive sectors and giving them emphasis so that not just they can have more resources to improve, but even looking at legacy industries which are waiting for rejuvenation have been funded. This budget, we've taken that a bit further and very clearly announced ways in which such medium-sized industries, which have potential to grow and export and also become champions in their sectors, can be given further help. And I've announced several steps towards equity help, professional help, and also making sure that they will have liquidity access. And in the process of three ways in which we want to reach them, we are giving them the support which, even if they grow out of the turnover limit, which defines them as an MSME, they will be leaders in their sectors so that they can participate in India's growth.
As far as the support to the MSMEs are concerned, financial support is required, and also to ensure that they are export ready so they can take advantage of all the free trade agreements that India has already entered into.
Yeah, definitely. I think the focus on the MSMEs is very, very important, and it's now sustained, you know, through the term of this government. See, the focus on manufacturing and manufacturing across sectors has been really good. You look at the way the electronic manufacturing sector has come up in no time. You know, today from a net importer of 90% of, you know, all mobile equipments and etc., today we are exporting significantly and have become, you know, within the five top exporters in the electronic space. So I think this has been done in a very sustained and manner. So I think that manufacturing is an opportunity for us. I think earlier notion was strike to be created that only the services sector is something that we should look at, but manufacturing still holds a lot of value, and that is where the MSMEs you know, have a lot of space. Today, 3D printing allows you to get into manufacturing of so many things, and I have seen in far-flung areas also in the country, people are doing that. You know, even as sensitive as something like a tooth is also being printed. So I think manufacturing opportunities for MSMEs give large or long hand, I would say, to the economy to be able to cater to a much newer generation of people getting into the sector. And this is where I think more adequate support has to be maintained. The banks and all have to be far much more geared up, you know, to be risk averse, to be able to support the MSMEs. I think the startups as such, again, a part of the MSME, you can say, have shown, you know, that how, if given the right nurturing and all, they can really achieve. And today, India is among the top three startup ecosystem in the world.
Do tell us about the Pradhan Mantri Gati Shakti regarding transportation and logistics.
Yeah, I think the Gati Shakti as a concept was very well laid out, and the small sparks of successes across sectors give the right motivation to look at in a far much more optimal fashion so that you are able to give a pace to all these infrastructure, you know, projects, whether it's the railways, the road, the airports. See, the volume of trade engagements, business travels, economic opportunities are increasing year after year in this country. And so I think somewhere to be able to give a push to whatever has been happening, completing project in their timelines, having financial closure and not, you know, having a extended period in which the projects linger on, I think that has been a hallmark of this government. You know, many far-flung areas have been connected much better and unexpectedly at a pace. So the Gati Shakti, I think, enhances that opportunities far much more than any other way, where, you know, you'd leave the individual ministries only, you know, running their own scale. But at a certain place, you converge and you are able to take a dashboard approach. This needs push.
Subimal ji, before the budget was presented on the 1st of February, today being, of course, the time allocated for discussion and debate, the economic survey had come out, and both the economic survey and budget has spoken about or inferred the global headwinds that includes the value of the dollar, commodity prices, including precious metals, which have seen an all-time high valuation, and how the tariff policy has affected many nations across the globe. Supply chains have been affected. Clearly, industries have not been able to plan ahead because they don't know how the economies are going to take a decision as far as duties are concerned. So this time round, in this budget and prior to this, every government has been challenged in terms of how to plan ahead. Your thoughts on this?
I thought, you know, India did really well in this turbulent time and a time of uncertainty around the global economy. Yes, the various geopolitical shifts that are happening definitely impact and create a worry about the, you know, future investments or in what would be the right area or the right, you know, volume to invest and or what are the markets that would be favorable to us. So I think between the economic survey's publication until today, I think we have had a lot of positive news. Even, you know, gold and silver prices have also come down. I wouldn't say they have 100% stabilized. It might still be volatile a little bit. But if you look at these trade deals that have happened, I think they give a considerable leg room to many of the industries to invest and look still favorably to the export market. I think there is an interest globally still on the Indian economy to come and invest, as well as, you know, look at expanding or servicing the other parts of the world from India. I would think that this momentum that has been maintained and positive manner in which the markets are responding, as well as how the economy is being managed, I think it's a great story for many nations to follow. You know, I was a part of Trek 1.5 last week, and I heard many of the foreigners saying that, you know, they now look up to the India and how everything is handled, so that they have a guidance about how they should look into the future when geopolitics and turbulence still continue.
Well, thank you so much, Subimal Bhattacharji, for talking to us in depth. The discussion and debate in the Lok Sabha regarding the budget that was first presented on the 1st of February 2026 is now being discussed and debated. And more importantly, as far as the opposition is concerned, their focus is on the allocation of their share of the tax proceeds from the Consolidated Fund of India. Thank you so much for being with us this program on Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on key highlights of Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman's reply to the general discussion on Budget 2026-27 in the Lok Sabha. The participants were Subimal Bhattacharji, Economic Analyst, and Arjun J. Chowdhury, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 928-909-4044.
Spotlight.